convincing.
All right, is everybody good?
Yeah.
No pee breaks, no poop breaks.
Are you talking to me, the kitties?
I'm turtle heading.
Everybody. Oh, my God. Well, just pinch that bad boy back in there and...
Suck it up, baby.
All right. So, welcome, everybody, to Creeps in the Crypt. This is Eric.
This is Christian.
This is Bailey.
All right. So, we're back. The studio has been completely rearranged. I'll be posting pictures of that this Friday. And, I'm super stoked about it. We got a little bit more room up here. And
it does feel very open.
I feel like it's better for video recording, which we might experiment with next week. And live stream the episodes on Tuesdays and then release them for, you know, audio download on Fridays.
Would you guys watch?
Let us know if you would actually watch a video thing on Instagram or whatever. But yeah.
Yeah.
You got words?
Words are hard. As always, guys, make sure you're downloading the episodes before we get into this. That's super important.
Are you glitching?
I'm glitching right now.
I'm not trying to say anything about it. Guys, thank you so much for following us along and getting into... We're about to get into spooky season.
Like, no, we're not.
No.
What the fuck are you talking about?
The second spooky season.
The fuck are you... There is no spooky season going. Second, it's all true crime.
No, there's a second spooky season. We're on the second spooky season eve, and it is...
Are you...
No, hush. It is the summer of slaughter, and it is just...
What the fuck are you talking about? You're babbling...
You don't think murder is spooky?
No, you're babbling madness. Summer of Slaughter's like 3 months away. I don't know,
you're getting silenced, so at least I'm fucking saying something.
True.
Well, I was taken back by Bailey over here turtle heading.
Okay.
And it kind of threw me off.
Oh,
everybody poop.
I was not expecting...
It is not Bailey's fault.
Everybody poop.
That you can't form words to say into the mic.
Look here.
What?
Right.
It's okay. If you're turtle heading
at least
too,
I know what season it is. All right, well, let's get into this. We're talking about a cult today. It's Woo! Technically we're recording this still in February, so we're still in the Valentine's Day mood.
Woo! Love
sucks.
We had this planned 2 weeks ago, but me rescheduling like everything with moving the studio around and being lazy about it kind of threw a hamper on things.
Yeah, you really fucked us, Eric.
I did fuck us a little bit. I had to hit the vault and upload some old content with Sam and us still in it, but it was still good. It was from our old show, and I re-edited it for this episode, this show. So,
would you call that vintage?
It was vintage creeps. Yes, vintage creeps in the crypt.
Very cute.
Took me a long time to edit that.
It did look like it was chopped and screwed.
Yeah, I showed you guys the waveforms on those, and it was Yikes. It was atrocious.
Mm-hmm. But you know what? You powered through.
I powered through.
You did the damn thing.
We got here, and we're talking about the Sarah Lawrence sex cult. Ooh. It's been so long since we've done a cult. I think the last one we did was... Was it Marshall Applewhite?
Yes. No. What was before that?
It was Heaven's Gate was the last cult we did. So it's been a good hot minute. So without further ado, Bailey, let's get into this.
All right. So Larry Ray, every parent's worst nightmare. You send your kids off to college to get a degree and to jumpstart their careers. Instead, their college career is full of abuse and brainwashing at the hands of a stranger.
Well, at least it's not alcohol abuse and DUIs.
Probably both.
Yeah, there's a lot of all of that, I'm sure.
So Larry Ray is also known as Lawrence Greco. He grew up in both Brooklyn and New Jersey. In the 80s, he became a partner at a club in Scotch Plains, New Jersey called Club Malibu and JJ Rockers. That's
where I want to hang out, is JJ Rockers.
I've never heard of those clubs. We used to have a club.
Sounds lame, dude.
So he, of course, started to meet people and network. He rubbed elbows with mobsters, politicians, and high-ranked military officials. In the early 90s, Larry opened up a commercial insurance brokerage firm to help insure people for construction projects and things of that nature. During this time, he met a certain mobster who owned a company called U.S. Bridge of New York, and he agreed to help get the company insurance for a major project. At some point during the mid-90s, Larry got the feeling that someone from the mob that was connected to the company was trying to kill him. A friend of Larry's...
You know, they kind of do that. Like, mobsters kind of like...
Kind of their thing.
Yeah, it's kind of in their bag of tricks.
So, we understand the worry. So, a friend of Larry's, Bernard Carrick, some will recognize this name, became famous after the 9/11 attacks and George W. Bush nominated him to lead the Department of Homeland Security. The two men worked out together and rode motorcycles together, and Bernard helped him get in contact with the FBI. According to the emails between Larry and the FBI, he became an informant in a federal investigation that was related to security fraud that involved pumping and dumping stocks. He ended up being indicted, along with about 20 others, for a part in the scheme. Larry also portrayed himself as this international man of mystery who had a hand in ending the war in Kosovo in the late 90s. He had
Kosovo, you mean?
I don't know. I've never been there. I don't even know where that is.
Russia?
You don't know about the Kosovo conflict, man? Come on.
Is it in the Ukraine?
I was born in 1998, and whenever we got to that part in the textbook, it was already the end of the school year, and I did not give a fuck anymore. So, no, I don't know about Kosovo. Kosovo?
Kosovo. Yeah.
Kosovo. Kosovo.
You know what? I'm going to let you roll with it.
Kosovo. Okay. Got it. So.
Oh, so it's Albanian and Serbian.
That's hot.
There you go.
All right. So, he had foreign leaders in his contact list and allegedly arranged Mikhail Gorbachev's visit to City Hall in 1997 to meet with the mayor at the time, Rudolph W. Giuliani. So Rudy Giuliani.
Gorbachev, president of the USSR before it fell.
There's a photo of Larry standing outside of City Hall with Mr. Gorbachev and a man named Bernard Carrick. More to come on him in the foreground. Larry had been in and out of trouble for the last 19 years for everything from the mob-related stock pump and dump scheme to custody issues with his children. He put himself as the focal point of local politics in 1998. He was the best man at the wedding of Bernard B. Carrick, who was the NYPD police commissioner in 2000 and ran the City Department of Corrections. Larry even wrote checks to help cover parts of Bernard's wedding and reception. In 1999, Bernard wanted to renovate his apartment in Riverdale in the Bronx. Bernard was put in contact with a man named Frank D. Tommaso, a mobster, who ran a construction company called Interstate Industrial Corporation, and wound up hiring Bernard's brother. Larry was their security director. Interstate Industrial Corporation did almost $200,000 in illegal renovations on Bernard's apartment for almost no cost.
Something's fishy about that.
It's safe to say that Larry was not the squeakiest clean guy out there. He had a habit of turning on those who trusted them. He became a cooperating witness in the investigation on the illegal renovations on the Bronx apartment.
A fucking rat.
Yep. That would ultimately, and if you see a picture of him, he looks like a fucking rat. And this would ultimately land Bernard Carrick in prison. The same Bernard Carrick who helped him with the mob situation and who he stood beside as his best man in Bernard's wedding. This conviction almost...
Just goes to show you can't trust anybody.
Trust no bitch. This conviction also destroyed Bernard's chances at heading up the Department of Homeland Security. In the year 2000, Larry was charged with agreeing to pay a $100,000 bribe to a bond brokerage firm executive. He pled guilty and was sentenced to 5 years probation. In 2005, Larry had a psych eval done as a part of a custody trial with his ex-wife. The evaluator said, "It is literally impossible to evaluate Mr. Ray in the usual clinical manner. His personality dynamics are so configured that he is able to manipulate and control almost any situation in which he finds himself, including a psychological interview with a forensic examiner, no matter how experienced that examiner may be. Mr. Ray is very good at what he does." The results of the report are uncovered in Hulu's three-part series, Stolen Youth, Inside the Cult at Sarah Lawrence. It goes on to call Larry a calculating, manipulative, and hostile man who masks his hostility, presenting instead a boyish, charming facade. In the fall of 2010, Larry moved into his daughter Talia's Sarah Lawrence College, located in Bronxville, which is just north of NYC in Yonkers. Her roommates didn't see a problem with letting her dad move in for a little while after he got out of prison. The roommates thought...
Because what could go wrong there? You're like, hey, my ex-felon dad's coming to move in. It's parents' weekend, right?
Yeah. Just parents' weekend. It's fine.
Except he's basically a fucking squatter.
Yeah. So...
It's like, man, hey, can I crash on your couch for a little bit? You got any, like, single friends?
Yeah, well.
You know, I'm fresh out of the pokey, so you know, I don't got anything going on right now.
This guy's such a fucking skeez ball. So the roommates thought that he was a little odd, but rather harmless. Keep in mind that Talia has actually, prior to this, talked him up completely. Like, her dad was her hero. Like, yeah, she loved adored him. She thought that he could basically do no wrong. So she had already talked about him all the time prior to this happening. So they were familiar with him. Slowly, he grew to be close with the group, sometimes pulling all-nighters, talking to the kids, and offering his advice.
Dude, I can barely stay up all night at 34. I can't imagine staying up all night around, like, my 40s and shit. You know what I'm saying?
Like, literally insane.
Dude, I'm good to be up past 11.
Right. So, in 2019, things ended up taking quite a dark turn.
Who could have thought?
No way, really? During this time with Talia and her roommates, he engaged in, quote-unquote, therapy sessions with some of her roommates and learned intimate details about their private lives, their vulnerabilities, and mental health struggles.
I'm just going to go ahead and say it. If the ex-con dad of my roommate is trying to give me fucking therapy sessions, I'm probably not going to take much of what he has to say to heart. Because I'm not going to do anything that got him in this situation.
Well, these people did. This was all under the impression that he was helping them navigate their psychological issues. He later used these therapy sessions to essentially gaslight the kids into confessing that they'd wronged him in some way.
Well, that and black. I mean, he's basically blackmailing these kids too, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, yeah. Oh, you got some shit you don't want out. Well,
yeah. And he definitely did end up doing that. As we will learn. So Larry portrayed himself kind of as like a father figure to Talia's friends. In the summer of 2011, several of his daughter's roommates all moved into an apartment in the Upper East Side the next summer. The group celebrated birthdays and holidays together. It was a one-bedroom apartment that later turned into anything but home sweet home. Slowly, more and more friends would end up moving into the apartment. During this time, Larry became extremely close with one of the roommates, Isabella Pollock, during his time at the apartment. As a young woman who came out of a less than ideal home situation, she was young, impressionable, and unsure of herself, making her the best candidate to become Larry's first target. Throughout the entirety of Larry's time, Isabella acted as not only his girlfriend, but she ended up becoming his sex slave, servant, and an integral part in his control over the other roommates. She ended up being not only a victim, but an accomplice. Her part in this case is debated and controversial, as she was, in fact, a victim, but also a victimizer.
Well, it's kind of like Stockholm Syndrome.
Definitely.
Like, She's so attached to this dude because he's abused the ever living shit out of her. She's brainwashed.
Yeah. So she ends up taking a huge role in like some of the abuse that he does with others, which, you know, makes her not only accessory to the crime, but also a victim. So it's a little debatable. A woman named Felicia Rosario, who was the older sister of one of the housemates, Santos, was living in L.A. while she was completing a psychiatry residency after graduating from Harvard and Columbia Med School. She had been visiting her brother, but was immediately taken in by Larry's charm. Felicia entered a long-distance relationship with Larry that at first seemed to be full of love.
Gross.
Yeah, disgusting. Mm.
Gross.
Soon enough, Larry was manipulating Felicia and convincing her that people were coming after her and that the only way that she could be safe is if she moved in with him into the Upper East Side apartment.
This dude is such a fucking piece of shit.
Yeah, he is. Felicia said...
There's some cult leaders where it's like, oh, this guy's just crazy.
Mm-hmm. No, this guy's fully aware and like... Just manipulative as fuck.
He might be one of the most disturbing people I've ever
done. Yeah, for sure.
Like, done any, like, reading or research on.
He's definitely, like, an evil genius. So, Felicia said, he wouldn't let me sleep. He controlled what I was eating. He would yell at me. He would beat me. He took away everything that made me me. And this was the most painful part of all. Is really the hold he had on my siblings and my family.
He was keeping that freshman 15 off of her.
Jesus. I knew that if I left him, he would just come after all of us harder. He continued his therapy sessions with other students. He was able to convince them to divulge very intimate details about their lives. He was able to alienate many of the victims from their families and convince them that they were broken and in need of fixing. By him, of course. He was able to extort money from the kids and ultimately their families by telling the kids that they had to pay him back for damages or some kind of reparations for their wrongdoings.
On a place that wasn't his.
Right. So he would convince them, he would even convince them that they had broken something that they, like, didn't fucking break. And they would just give him money for it. So that's how, like, deep this manipulation fucking went with them.
He's, like, lip crashing in a fucking dorm.
If you're young and you don't want to, like, cause confrontation, that you're just going to immediately be like, oh, okay, I guess I
didn't. Yeah, no, like, literally.
Mom, I broke this guy's shit that's, like, crashing in the dorm. Can I get, like, $2,500?
And most parents would be like, damn, why did you do that? But, okay, I don't want you to get in trouble. And well, just, that's like, send it to you. Yeah. Like, yeah, I've...
So
he's just telling these kids to take out extra money on their college loans.
I think that this was more around the time of after they had. So they had moved out of the dorm by this time, and they were living in one of Larry's friend's apartments. And then they ended up basically taking over the whole apartment. They were basically squatters at this point, and the friend, who was Larry's friend from prison, the friend ends up moving out, going elsewhere. So...
Probably because he's realized, like, this whole situation is fucked, and I'm getting out of here.
Yeah, pretty much. So, he would basically tell them that they had to pay him back for damages or some kind of reparations. Once he had their trust, he would go into these interrogation sessions that were mostly physical and were verbally abusive. He made false allegations against the students during these interrogations, including saying that they damaged his property, and he even tried to accuse one of his victims of trying to poison him. He once put a knife...
Shame they didn't.
Right? He once put a knife against one of his male victims' throats until he confessed his wrongdoing and choked another male victim until he was unconscious. One of the female victims was slammed to the ground after bringing home food that had gotten cold.
Jesus Christ, dude.
I believe that was Felicia that happened to.
I don't want to see this guy around an Uber Eats driver. That's all I'm saying.
Oh my God.
Where are all my
fucking tips? Why don't you pull cold, goddammit?
Definitely no fucking tip for you.
They forgot the fucking guacamole.
I asked for guac and queso, goddammit.
After 2013, Larry brought everyone down to North Carolina and then up to New Jersey, where the abuse continued. By this time, rumors were circulating back at Sarah Lawrence about what was going on. This prompted...
Which is a prestigious school, by the way. Mm-hmm. It's a real black eye on their history, for sure.
Yikes. Yeah, they're not thrilled, I'm sure. So, this prompted two reporters from two different New York magazines to get in contact with one of the victims, Daniel Levin, about his experience with Larry Ray.
This kid's story is so fucked up, too.
Yeah, it is. So, Daniel said, I was still thinking about my friends who were being abused and what effect it would have. What it became for me was if they needed to get it right, because if they got it wrong, it would cause the most possible harm. Police were only made aware of Larry Ray's behavior after a New York magazine called The Cut did a feature on him in 2019 using their interviews with Daniel.
Dude, one of Daniel's stories about Larry smashing his ukulele. What was the reason behind it? I can't remember the reason behind it, but it was like super fucking weird. It was just like, oh, this is like repressed trauma that's making you play this ukulele. Yeah. So you need to smash it to relieve yourself of the repressed trauma. And really, he probably just couldn't play the ukulele for shit. And Larry Ray's just like, I swear to God, if this kid plays the ukulele anymore, I'm going to lose my shit.
We're going to get him to smash it. So, Felicia and one other friend were still living with Larry when the article came out. They met the reporters after Larry said that he wanted his side told. Felicia said that Larry was furious when the piece came out, even though she knew that the article was truthful. Larry was arrested in February of 2020, but his trial wouldn't start for almost 3 years. Felicia defended Larry at first, and I believe Isabella did too, if I'm not mistaken. But once she was finally able to live in peace after years of abuse, she reconsidered her stance. She said, it took them coming to get him for me to be able to consider having life again. I had to sit alone, and I didn't have him yelling at me every day. It just kind of clicked that this is horrible, and I need to do something.
That's how deep his grasp was on these children.
Well, that girl essentially became, like age regressed. She's the girl that basically age regressed into, like, a toddler. So she would be... You know, like, throwing temper tantrums. And
this shit, like, broke her mentally.
Yeah, completely. Complete mental breakdown. Yeah, fucked her head up. Her brain smoothed right out. So Larry's trial began in 2022 and lasted 4 weeks and was held in Manhattan, New York. Prosecutors laid out a horrific chronology of events that began when he moved into his daughter's dorm room at Sarah Lawrence in 2010. During the court proceedings, it came out that Larry had used tactics such as fear, violence, coercion, sleep deprivation, psychological and sexual humiliation, verbal abuse, threats of physical violence, actual physical violence, threats of criminal legal action, alienating the victims from their families, and exploiting the victims' mental health vulnerabilities to gain and maintain control over the kids. Claudia Drury, a victim, cataloged every transgression that Larry ever committed against her. He claimed that Claudia damaged his vacuum, ate all of his food, and even tried to poison him. None of this happened. But Larry demanded that she pay reparations anyway. She was to pay him back no matter what she had to do. So Larry suggested that she turn to prostitution. It started out by just having sexual contact with Larry. Then he began encouraging her to have sex with others.
Real Vince McMahon for you wrestling fans out there.
So she worked 4 years as a prostitute, and she earned Larry somewhere around $2.5 million.
She was what you would call the bottom bitch. She's holding it down.
What does that mean?
That's like your main hoe, man.
Oh my god. I mean, I think she was the only one he made do this, but yeah, she was holding it down for real.
She made him 2.5 mil.
That's crazy. So Claudia
probably didn't see a fucking penny of it.
Oh, she definitely didn't. At all.
I bet she had the nicest clothes.
Yeah. So Claudia ended up confiding in one of her customers about the aspects of her life, and Larry was pissed. A friend of Claudia Drury's also took the stand to talk about the unremitting sadistic torture that Claudia went through with Larry. The friend relayed that Claudia had told them, "Larry forced me to abject desperation." She went on to say that Larry was a malevolent, deceitful shadow of a man who had forced her into prostitution, beat her, extorted, and threatened her. Her statement also said, "It's as if he was experimenting on our very souls," which is some deep-ass shit.
I mean, he technically was. He's using a bunch of CIA mind-controlled experiment in, like, info to break these kids.
Yeah, pretty much. One part of her statement talked about how Larry stripped her down naked, tied her to a chair, and put a plastic bag over her head and threatened her with waterboarding until she was begging for her life.
Which, that's some scary-ass shit. Waterboarding will fuck you up.
Absolutely terrifying.
It's like, do you ever want to know what it feels like to drown? Try waterboarding.
Oh, that's so scary. Mm-mm. Another one of Larry's victims, Daniel Levin, who we mentioned earlier, the ukulele, gave his testimony at the trial. He had started his sophomore year at Sarah Lawrence when his roommate, Talia Ray, introduced him to her dad. She told him that he was getting out of prison, for which he was wrongfully imprisoned and needed a place to stay. Daniel had sought Larry out by the end of his sophomore year to get his insight about his relationship with his girlfriend. Daniel said, "He seemed to understand the things I struggled with. I was insecure about my body and I was insecure about my sexuality." Daniel went on to say that he really appreciated that conversation with Larry. Larry offered for Daniel to stay with him for free in the one-bedroom apartment with Larry and four other people. He said that Larry ended up torturing him and his friends by putting a knife over Daniel and instructed another kid to line the bathtub with plastic to catch the blood. Larry also hit Daniel with a sledgehammer while pulling his tongue out with pliers. Ooh, not what out. The not out.
Fuck.
Just pulled it. Sorry. Just pulled it. He said, "My friend's dad moved into my dorm, and what followed were years of abuse, psychological, physical, sexual. I can never live a life where this didn't happen."
Any port in the storm for old Larry, apparently.
Yeah. Daniel was able to get out from under Larry's reign after 2 years. He said, "It reached a point where I felt as if I stay any longer, I think I might die. It starts to feel like this might be a mortal threat. Whether that's because he will kill me or I will kill myself. Something in me felt like if I wanted to live, I needed to leave. And I did. I just stopped answering calls and hoped that they wouldn't pursue me. But even after he left, he felt that he was a constant state of disassociation and he felt that the world was gray." A third victim took the stand, Santos Rosario. He said that he went through a decade of absolute misery after he met Larry Ray in 2010. He met him because he was actually Larry's daughter's boyfriend. Fun fact, except it's not fun. So he told the judge that he contemplated suicide every single day after Larry physically abused, degraded, and blackmailed him. Santos said, "He took 10 years of my life away from me. All I know is I wish I had never met him."
Why not just fucking leave?
Well,
like,
because they're psychologically manipulated and
they're inept at that point. Like, you're so young, like, you're just like looking at
this is all you know.
Okay, you're gonna blackmail me, fine, fuck it, I'm gonna leave town.
Right, well, that's what you would say as like a rational adult, but when you're by yourself and you have no parental figure, they saw him as a parental figure. They thought he was always right.
I mean, I feel like it's the same concept of, like, women who are in, like, domestic violence situations. Yes. Like, yeah, obviously, like, the answer is why not just leave? But, like, it's just not that simple. It's scary.
I can't leave without my CDs. What? My albums.
My CDs. Where'd you get that?
It's a Dane Cook bit.
Oh. So, Larry convinced Santos that he had done damage to Larry's property and forced him to pay hundreds of thousands of dollars back to Larry. Much of this came from Santos's parents. U.S. Attorney Damian Williams said 12 years ago, Larry Ray moved into his daughter's dorm room at Sarah Lawrence College. When he got there, he met a group of friends who had their whole lives ahead of them. For the next decade, he used violence, threats, and psychological abuse to try, control, and destroy their lives. He exploited them, terrorized them, and tortured them. Let me be very clear. Larry Ray is a predator, an evil man who did evil things. Today's verdict finally brings him to justice. This verdict would not have been possible without the victims who testified in court. We are in awe of their bravery in the face of incredible trauma. Judge Lewis Lindman said it was sadism, pure and simple, and that Larry was an evil genius and spoke on how he enslaved college students who had no way out of his cruel yet sophisticated actions. He also said, having gained control of their minds and bodies, he forced them to do his bidding, and he sought to take every bit of light from his victims' lives when he handed Larry Ray his sentence. Prosecutors said that Larry Ray's capacity for unspeakable cruelty knows no bounds and requested life in prison. Larry's defense attorney, Marnie Lennox, aimed for no more than 15 years. He said, Mr. Ray has been punished and he will continue to be punished. He then referenced Larry's 3 years in prison since his February 2020 arrest and the recent passing of his dad, stepdad, and stepmother. Today, there is no one, meaning that there was no one in his side of the courtroom. He didn't say anything about his crimes or the victims. He only focused on Larry's declining health. Larry Ray spoke up about his health status, saying, "It's frightening to feel this bad," after describing lesions, ringing in his ears, sleeplessness, and other conditions that he claimed are getting worse, which is just karma.
They parole him and he goes to a fucking, like, retirement home and starts a cult there.
Jeez. Oh my God.
It's like, yeah, meet my new prostitute, Gertrude.
He's going to have a prison cult. Judge Lemon said that despite Larry Ray's age, there's no reason to believe that Mr. Ray would age out of criminal behavior. On January 20th of 2023, Larry Ray was sentenced to 60 years in prison for sex trafficking, racketeering, conspiracy, violent crime in aid of racketeering, extortion, forced labor, tax evasion, and money laundering. Daniel Levin, who testified in court, told Newsweek, "To be in that room where Lawrence Ray is walking out of it into incarceration for the rest of his life, where he won't be able to harm my friends ever again, that was really a profound feeling of safety that I haven't felt for a decade. I do feel like justice has been served, and that's relief. I feel really grateful and lucky to get to feel that way because I know that there's a lot of people who deal with abusers like Larry Ray, who live in fear of them and hiding like I did for years, who are being actively harmed, and they don't get the kind of justice that we've managed to get. So I feel very lucky." Both Felicia and Daniel have shared that they're able to be more confident that they can live full and enriched lives and won't be defined by the things they've endured. Daniel published a memoir called Salon and Woods 9, which is named after that dorm building where he met Larry Ray. He now teaches writing in LA. Felicia, only a couple of years now into her healing journey, has high hopes to achieve her dream of becoming a forensic psychiatrist. She said that watching Daniel's recovery and his success afterwards has given her hope for her future, and the dreams that she feels were stolen from her. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, Isabella Pollock ended up getting 4 years in prison for her part in the crimes.
Wow. I mean, that's such a tough thing because she's a victim and still a perpetrator.
So there was, she had files and folders in her phone of things that she could use or they could use to blackmail the other students. She also would hand him the materials that he needed to
manipulate them.
So she definitely played a part. I mean, she ended up becoming like his wing woman in the whole
thing.
Right hand man woman. So Sarah Lawrence College came forward with two statements regarding Larry Ray. It appears that for some part of the fall semester in 2010, a parent stayed in his daughter's on-campus apartment in a clear violation of the college's written policy.
No shit.
The crimes for which this man has been indicted did not occur at Sarah Lawrence, even though he appears to have met certain of his victims while they were students here.
Oh, it started at Sarah Lawrence, whether they want to know that, whether they want to acknowledge that or not.
Yeah. They just refused to take any fucking responsibility whatsoever, but okay. And later, regarding his sentencing, today's sentencing of Larry Ray is the final stage of holding him accountable for his crimes. We hope this reckoning brings some sense of closure to his victims. Sarah Lawrence College's president, Crystal Collins Judd, added that school officials at the time didn't know what was going on. And that was that.
Well, there you go, guys. That's the Sarah Lawrence sex cult. Done and dusted.
And there is a lot more. So, like, if this is interesting to you, this is, like, one of those that you can deep dive into because there's so much shit. There's videos. There's...
Oh, the videos are, like...
All kinds of shit. There's the documentary on Hulu, I believe. Mm-hmm. But this is really interesting once you start actually diving, like, deep into it.
I know this is a big one for you that you wanted to
do. I'm very interested in this case.
Awesome. Well, Christian, if you want to go ahead and do the thing that you do.
Do the voodoo that you do. Thank you guys so much for listening, following along, giving us the likes. If you want to keep us happy, please make sure you guys are doing that. All joking, kidding aside, please make sure you guys are downloading, liking, and sharing the show. It helps us out. We really, really appreciate it. It makes Eric happy. It makes Bailey happy.
It's free.
It makes me happy.
It costs nothing.
It costs you nothing.
But it means everything.
Yes. And make sure you guys, when you're, if you have suggestions for any episodes that you want us to do, please make sure you guys leave them in the comments because we are always open for suggestions. We are always down for something that we haven't heard of. I mean, there's only four of us that Sam, obviously, like, taking a back seat, but there's only four of us that are really going to, like, know the things, and there's only four of us that are going to see the things that we want to cover, and if you guys have something that we haven't heard of, I'm always down to hear it.
Same.
Yep.
And we love you guys so much, and stay creepy.
Stay spooky.
Stay strange.
And as Sam would say, stay safe.
Bye, guys.
Bye.